Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Okay, welcome back to Talkin' Knicks. I'm Tom Piccolo, coming to you the day after the Knicks beat the Cavaliers in Game 5 in Cleveland, completing the gentleman's sweep. So I can't wait to talk about it. Let's do it. We're also going to take a quick look at the upcoming series against Miami. Let's get into it. Let's talk Knicks. All right. I am joined today in studio by Big Baby David. BBD, how are you, man?
Tom, I'm doing great in a Knicks perspective. And, yeah, I'm really happy, really excited to talk some Knicks. What a treat that we get to already know the next matchup, so we can do a little previewing here, get the people ahead on what to expect coming up.
But before we do that, we really,
really
got to savor this one.
I would love to savor this one.
That game last night was just simply a joy. It was a joy for me to watch from start to finish.
This game has everything.
It's got everything. I honestly was getting emotional watching this group. It was just the epitome of Knicks basketball. Not to sound like throw all the cliches at you, but just the level of like teamwork and camaraderie and connectedness. Like, this was not a squad that just like, you know, they got cobbled together. I'll make the comparison to like those Brooklyn Nets with the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden, like just getting all the stars off the rack.
Supposed to immediately thrive. Like,
this was a team just kind of like thoughtfully, meticulously put together with players of complementing skill sets. And it is a deep team. In Game 5, we closed this one out with every single player making a positive contribution. We needed everyone to do it. And, man, it was incredible to watch. It was incredible to do it against Donovan Mitchell, the guy that, you know, so many Knicks fans wanted, expected to be on this team. And clearly we didn't need him. It was just a phenomenal game. Biebs, how did you feel just big picture about that game?
I mean, huge game for Leon Rose, right? I mean, he got to check a lot of boxes, check a lot of receipts, a lot of people, you know, a lot of guys that we thought might be going in a trade, who some of them had bad series, and they turn up in this game. RJ has had an amazing last two games.
Last
three even, yeah. Yeah, game three, he was good. Yeah, I mean, credit to this front office, putting together a team that probably wasn't, nobody had them winning a playoff series this year. We knew we were in it for the long haul, and this was a team that hopefully the core of it grows together and they learn a lot this year and win a few games, get into the playoffs, hopefully. But, I mean, we joked around at the beginning of this year how mid would be such an improvement. They're better than mid.
Man, if you would have told me that we'd have a home court advantage in the second round of the playoffs, I would have just laughed in your face. This is just,
I would have said, how is that possible?
It's just, you would have expected maybe a mid-season transaction or like maybe another pandemic situation, like something drastic. Like, it was just, honestly,
the superstar trade happened. The next disgruntled star came through, but no. That's not at all what happened.
We didn't need him. Signed Jalen Brunson. Got Josh Hart in a trade at midseason. And, I mean, I think that it's appropriate to start with Mitchell Robinson in that for the Game 5 summary, because he was the story. He was so incredible. Dominant. He really just put the Cavaliers in their place. Like, they had no answers for him. They were throwing 3-4 bodies at him. They couldn't keep him off the glass. He still finished with 11 offensive rebounds.
He has a double-double just if we're doing offensive boards.
It broke that Cavs team. It broke their spirit. Like, they honestly, Jared Allen was quoted after the game saying, quote, "Even for me, the lights were brighter than expected." These were guys who didn't want to be there anymore.
No.
Like, it was very evident And I think the Cavs fans knew it too. You were hearing smatterings of boos. In an elimination game, their backs against the wall at home, and the Knicks still went in there, punched them in the mouth, and just never let up, right? Like, because they came out strong in that first quarter. I think they finished that quarter up 7 points.
Yeah. Basically kept them that far away the rest of the way, at least.
Yeah. Like, and it was, like I said, it was everybody. Julius Randle, who has been struggling greatly this series, came out and was just like, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to put you into the basket. You're going to need to, like, foul me just to even slow me down. And he was incredible. He was incredible all, like, the end of that first quarter, into that second quarter, until he got injured. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we
preview the biggest downside of this game.
Yeah.
It's the one negative that we have, and we'll get into that.
It was a huge bummer. It was such a bummer, and it could have been just, like, a totally deflating event for this team, right? Because if you're the Knicks, you're thinking, like, at least we can go back home. Like, sure, we lost our all-NBA caliber forward here, but, you know, we're going to have opportunities down the road to seal this. No. Like, Obi Toppin came in that third quarter. He was draining threes. He was getting out in transition. He did a windmill dunk in a playoff game that was still very much in the balance. Like, that game could have gone either way. And just the confidence from that young man, it was incredible. Yeah.
The two boards he grabbed were impactful in the moment too. Like he was doing everything he needed. He was incredible.
Honestly, yeah, it's hard to even put it into words. Like I said last night, I was in awe, and I'm still in awe of what this team did. And I can't just emphasize team enough. Like the depth of this group that we can go 10 deep, even 11 deep, like. It's going to be what separates this group from your Miamis of the world when we get to that, you know, certainly from Cleveland, who just didn't have the bodies to go up against us. Like Mitchell Robinson, he ended up playing a great deal of minutes, but throughout the series, so Mitch finished with 36 minutes, which for him is a lot because Hartenstein usually gets, you know, at least 20.
Yeah.
But he only played 12 in this one. It was that kind of game for Mitch, who deserves all the flowers because, you know, this is a homegrown guy. He was drafted in the second round, and he's been here. He's the longest tenured Nick.
Yeah.
And he was the most impactful, most dominant player on the floor last night in an elimination game in the playoffs against a better seed. And the Knicks were unquestionably the better team. Blown away by Mitchell Robinson.
Knicks outplayed them every step of the way in basically every game besides game two. Game one was an eventful one, and game two they're blown out, and then after that, games 3, 4, 5, Knicks just thoroughly outplayed them, particularly in this game five when they got all the contributions they needed, and Mitch has his full like welcome to being like an NBA stud game. Like people are going to start talking about him a little more now and deservedly so. Really, I was proud of Mitch basically all series. It felt like he was the whole way very locked in. So to be able to put the exclamation point with this final game.
And we talked a lot about
so happy for him.
We talked a lot about his offensive rebounding, but just the overall defense being the absolute backbone of this defense, the defense that held this Donovan Mitchell-led group with, like, four potential All-Stars to under 100 points every single game?
Every game.
That is insane. It is insane. It's unheard of in this modern NBA with three-point shooting and efficiency and analytics. And, like, it is unbelievable, and Mitchell Robinson deserves so much credit for that. His ability to you know, get out on and hedge on screens to split the difference. And basically, he was guarding two players at once a lot, like, because that's what the Knicks ask him to do. That's the scheme. He has to kind of defend the lob behind him while trying to corral the ball handler in these pick and rolls. And he's as good at doing it as anybody in the league. So, man, we'll talk more about Mitch, I think, when we talk about the Miami matchup. But and then the next guy we should talk a little bit more about is who you mentioned before, and that's RJ Barrett. Because RJ, no, you know, there's no question about it. He struggled for much of this season. And in game one of this series, he finished with 6 assists. And it was noticeable. He couldn't hit anything from the field, but his process was good. He was making the right reads. And so the question was that a one-off thing? Is he going to keep doing it? And his process. I mean, we can kind of throw game two out the window a bit, but game three, game four, and game five, he was such a steady, poised ball handler in a way that we would have never expected given what we saw during the season. He was always making the right decisions.
Yeah, he made the right choice time and time again. Even in those early games, he was, for the most part, making correct decisions. They had, you know, he's a guy who can catch the ire of a lot of fans, but he was, even in those bad times, never the problem with the team. And then he finally, these last three games, after what's been a tough year, puts it all together. He hits over 50% from the field each of the last three games. He makes the right reads. And we've talked, I forget if it's on here or just around the office and group chat. Like, I even started feeling good about his decision makings in two-on-one in the fast break, which we've joked around about how you don't feel good in those spots with him. I can't say enough good things.
He only finished with four assists in this one, and I think he only finished with like one assist in the last game, but I went through and just kind of looked at some of his passes, and he's out there making the right reads. He's passing early. He's not waiting till he's like trapped and turns it over. He led the team in like potential assists or was up there. He had a bunch of hockey assists where the guy he passed to ended up recording the assist. So like his fingerprints were all over the offense, and the Knicks needed him badly to do that because, you know, Jalen Brunson, he did lead the team in scoring. He had 23 points on 8 of 22 shots. That's extremely inefficient for him. Brunson was very good in the first half. In the second half, not so much. He couldn't really find it. I think Brunson was still making the right calls when they were trapping him. He was still making the right passes. But a lot of those passes were to R.J. Barrett, and it was up to R.J. Barrett to then make the right decision. And R.J. stepped up in a major way. He was just – he was huge. It changes kind of how you see his ceiling as a player, right? The fact that he's able to perform like this on the biggest stages – you remember he's 22 years old and that there's so much room for growth. It's just in the past, whenever I'd use that caveat, it was just like, yeah, but we need to see him start to make the right decisions. And he's doing it.
There's kind of, you know, in a playoff series, as two teams get used to facing each other, can kind of go one of two ways as far as like, oh, they're just fully figuring out what he's going to do. Is he going to figure out them? He figured out them. And I'm not to get ahead of ourselves on Miami, cause we're going to get back there. I have no reason not to think he'll do the same in the Miami series. We've now seen him over the course of a series get better each and every game and figure out how they're attacking him, and he will figure out how to contribute.
It's very tempting to jump right into the Miami talk, cause I do have a lot to say about it, but I mean, these types of wins don't happen very often, you know?
We have to enjoy it.
First time making it to the second round in a decade. So, yeah, we've really got to savor this one. Yeah.
By the way, it's not like they were doing it a ton before that playoff series win either.
That's right, yeah.
So it's the second one in, like, two decades.
So we did give some praise to Obi for stepping in Randall's presence and for Randall for just being so aggressive. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart played, so he finished with 4 points in this game. 4 points, 12 boards, one block. It completely belies just how huge of an impact he had. He played 47 minutes, a little over 47 minutes. It was like 47 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah.
We needed him for every one of those minutes because he is that important to this group, to this group's identity, to the energy that it plays with. He's it's hard for him not to be a fan favorite right now, just given what he represents for this New York team.
He does everything that like you the doesn't show up in that stat sheet, particularly last night. I can't imagine a more perfect fit for basically any team that's trying to compete. This was his first playoff series too. Like he completely unfazed, playing some of the best basketball of his life. We see guys on both of the teams in this series playing some of their first extended postseason action, and the moment got big for some of them. Josh Hart completely unfazed by that, playing incredibly and being a huge force in every win.
I mean, lockdown defense on Donovan Mitchell to the point where, I mean, again, Mitchell, I think, ended up with, was it 26 or?
28.
28, but it was on 26 shots.
Three of 12 from behind the arc.
And, you know, I have to think a lot of that has to do with Hart's physicality, but also just, again, back to the team element, just the team defense. Everyone was showing on Mitchell, was digging down, was, like, contesting him, and the rotations were perfect. It was just, it was the best game the Knicks have played all season. And it's not just because of the stakes and, like, the, you know,
the result.
Right. It's just the process on the defensive end was nearly perfect. You could, like, point to the mistakes they made and count them on one hand. That's how good it was. I think we talked a good amount about Hart. Off the bench, you know, Obi had one play in particular in the, I believe it was the third quarter, and I clipped this and put on Twitter because the Cavs had gone on a little bit of a run, and they cut the lead to 9 points. It was single digits for the first time in a while. It had been a while for that. And the Knicks go to an R.J. Barrett kind of pistol action that they like to do. They do a little dribble handoff on the right side of the court to get R.J. coming downhill to his left. R.J. takes the screen and drives a little bit and just whips a right-handed pass, a skip pass, to Obi on the wing. And it's not perfect. Obi has to kind of like go down and grab it a little bit. And he catches it and just goes right up against a good contest, hits the three, puts the team back up 12. And it felt massive. The Knicks were struggling to score a little bit. Brunson was kind of mired in a little bit of struggles. And Obi, to have the confidence, it wasn't, you know, Obi usually hits these wide open corner threes, and we need it desperately. He's amazing at that. But to hit kind of a contested three on the wing, a little bit of movement to it, it was just a huge
shot.
It's not
an easy ask.
Not an easy ask for a player like that, for a player who has been asked to be something he's not for much of his career. And, you know, the fact that he doesn't complain, that he just steps up and does his job and does it in this way, it is, you can't say enough good things about Obi Toppin either, man. It's awesome. And the one guy we haven't really touched too much on is Quickly, who has also really struggled offensively. He's been amazing defensively. Offensively, he has not found his rhythm. And in that first half, when, I mean, I think he hit three threes in the first half.
Believe so.
And they all felt huge, right? They just changed the way the Cavs were kind of defending us. They loosened everything up on drives to the basket. They opened things up for Randall in that first half as well. And, you know, Quickly was 5 of 15 from the field. Not great, obviously. Mm-hmm. 3 of 10 from 3 you could live with is the two-pointers he was struggling with. But I think that you saw him find something in the playoffs that we hadn't seen too much of, and hopefully he can carry some of that momentum to the next series.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the most standout like issue on the offensive end is just like Manuel Quickly for the most part in this series went missing. And for him to be able to have a game where he hit a bunch of impactful shots in a row, I'm trying to pull up that like first half stat line very quickly because he was able to get it going early and be a threat the rest of the way. I know the final stat line isn't anything to brag about. It finishes 19 points. Cool. Nice.
I mean, 19 points is solid because he made all six of his free throws, which, you know, helps the efficiency a little bit.
He to be able to put that together, and now I would assume feel a lot better about himself and his impact on this team going into the Miami series. It's really great.
Confirmed all three of his threes were in the first half.
Yes. Yeah. He's 4-7 overall, 3-6 from behind the arc in that first half. For him to finally have a little bit of a breakout, that'll go a long way for this team, especially in a game that their best player in Randall, theoretically the best player, had to miss so much time for.
Well, we are going to have to move on to this next series, but I urge everyone to not take for granted just what we witnessed there, because this was not the expectation coming into this season, and to do it...
Wasn't the expectation coming into the series.
This series certainly not either. I mean, I picked Knicks in six, but I did that more so with my heart than my head. I think if I were like, if I had to bet my life on it, I don't know that I would have necessarily made the same pick. And I mean, Knicks in five, I never would have really fathomed. So the fact that they beat this team with Donovan Mitchell in the fashion that they did, with just no real superstars. I mean, Jalen Brunson has kind of negated that argument by being a superstar.
Yeah,
but in this game, he wasn't necessarily that. This was a full team effort. It was just an overwhelming group that was out-toughed, out-hustled the other team, yeah. And it was New York City embodied, man. It was awesome to see.
It was really great. Saying some more on Brunson, who I guess is another guy we probably should say some more. Like, by default, he was certainly our best player overall this series and contributed so much. Like, the stat lines he put up aren't like anything insane. Obviously, you know, 20 points each game, a 29 point outing in game four. Like that was great. Like, no, the Knicks did this without a real superstar. No 30-point outbursts from him or Randall or anything like that. Just they're just as good and solid as team basketball as I've seen in years.
And, you know, depending on whether Brunson can kind of continue this deeper into the playoffs, like that label superstar might, you know, it might start to find its way to him. You know, that's kind of where we're at. He's the engine of this offense. When he's not on the court, the offense absolutely falls apart. He's just I used the word poised before to describe RJ. He's very much that. He makes the right plays. You know, sometimes the ball can get a little sticky with him because he's just such an elite ISO scorer. But I think that's going to help so much moving into this next series. So let's talk real quick about Miami. And I just want to say off the bat, this is a series I feel good about. This is a team that I feel like the Knicks, during the regular season, the Knicks were unquestionably the better team in my eyes than the Miami Heat. Yes, the Heat have found something here with Jimmy Butler kind of just going off in that Bucks series, but I keep coming back to the depth and to just the strength in numbers. I think that there are several weak links on that Miami team. If you want to talk about Kevin Love or you know, the aged Kyle Lowry or, you know, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, has Tyler Hero been missing time? I know he broke his hand.
I believe he has been.
I do wonder what his...
See exactly how many games he did or didn't miss, but...
I do wonder what his prognosis is going to be, because he's someone that RJ Barrett loves to go at. He loves to prove that he's better than Tyler Hero, and he often does. So
he played just one game in this one. I think he's out.
Interesting. I mean, the Heat are not a very deep team to begin with. He's one of their most dynamic creators. He's not a strong defender.
That's searching for creation,
shooting. And, you know, that's why they go to Duncan Robinson, I think, for the shooting. But he is going to be exploited. Like, this Knicks team has, you know, we say they don't have superstars, but they have the guys with the tools to exploit bad defenders. Jalen Brunson is an incredible isolation player, like among the best in the league. And if you are going to try and switch a Duncan Robinson onto him, he's done. He's toast. It's over. And so then if you're not going to switch, you got to start to find other ways to do it. You're going to hard hedge. Then you get into rotation. That's when Jalen Brunson's finding guys, finding RJ Barrett, right? And then RJ gets to go 4-on-3 or 3-on-2. It's just like, I think that the Knicks have answers for the threats Miami poses.
As long as they're, you know, able to make the right decisions and execute on them, the Knicks are very equipped to handle just about anything I think Miami's going to be able to throw at them. We'll see what kind of adjustments get made on both sides throughout this series, but I think the Knicks are very equipped to handle this, and we've seen over this year and the last few years, the Knicks have had a pretty good handle on Miami. They're never pleasant to play against. I don't think this is going to be a fun series to watch game in, game out. But he, as one with emotional investment in the series, but they have even in our lean years, I feel like we've had like a bunch of biggest wins of the year being wins like in Miami to like get the Knicks right again. And sure, on the season, that what did that amount to? Whatever. But the Knicks have had some success against this team with each of these cores, and particularly this year as well. They've outplayed them. And they just are better. They just are better than them.
They're certainly, they have just more good players. Like Victor Oladipo, he's someone who is playing 20-plus minutes per game for them. He's also out, mm-hmm. I believe. I mean,
he's out a while.
You start getting real thin for some of these folks. I mean, Max Strus was playing just six. He's playing 30 minutes a game, averaging 6 points a game. You know, these are guys who, do you trust some of these guys? Your Max Struces, your Caleb Martins, your Gabe Vincents, Duncan Robinsons in the Garden? You saw how shook.
Oh, wow.
You saw how shook the Cavs were with some of their studs in the Garden with, again, you know, in front of that crowd. I don't see it with this group. You know,
update on Tyler Hero. I've looked into more of the he's out. He's out.
He's out.
He had surgery on the broken hand at least 6 weeks.
You know, I think that the biggest, pro, I guess, for the Heat would be they have Jimmy Butler. They have who everyone would expect to be the best player in the series. He just averaged 38 points a game. He shot nearly 60% from the field.
Took
in the
over five their games. Their final two wins.
Like, he was the best player on a court with Giannis on it. You know, I do see that he averaged over 44% from three on over 5 3-point attempts per game. That's
not who he's.
That's
been.
Not his game. Like, did he just catch fire? I know playoff Jimmy's its own thing. This season, so I said he took over 5 per game. This season, he averaged 1.5 3-point attempts per game and shot just 35% on them. Like, I'm dubious that he's going to be able to keep up that level of shot making.
And with what they have, that feels like the only button they'll be able to push that the Knicks may not have an answer for is him doing that. And hey, we did just see him do it. Has he found something? Is he in a great, you know, mindset and great streak right now? Maybe, but that's going to be hard to replicate over the course of a best of seven. Maybe he can take one or two games doing that. They're going to need more than that to beat this Knicks team that, again, is just a straight-up better team than them right now.
And I love Josh Hart matching up on Jimmy Butler. Josh Hart, I'm just not going to bet against him anymore. Like, that dude is a dog. He is so strong. I know he gives up some height to Jimmy Butler. He's going to get underneath him. He's going to frustrate him. He's not going to, for a second, take a playoff. And, you know, that's just the type of guy that you want guarding Jimmy Butler. But also, RJ Barrett likes that matchup too. He likes to step up
he's strong enough. Of them.
He's strong enough to do it, right? Like, I don't know that, we don't know when Quentin Grimes is going to return, but he's not necessarily strong enough to really handle a Jimmy Butler assignment. But
certainly for a full game. But
I mean, if we're talking about Josh Hart playing for 47 minutes in a game and still looking like the freshest guy on the floor, then that doesn't worry me so much. I just like the depth.
I like defensively a lot of how the Knicks potentially match up against Miami with the way they had to win their Milwaukee series. I think the Knicks have answers for everything I saw in that.
Kevin Love starts for the Miami Heat. He plays.
Why is he not on the Cavs?
He plays 22 minutes per game. Kevin Love will get cooked by this Knicks offense that is, like I've said before, ISO heavy and has the guys. I mean, one thing we haven't really said much is a lot of, some of this is pending Julius Randle's health. I think that initial words are that the sprained ankle, though it is the same ankle he hurt at the end of the season, it's not as severe a sprain. He walked off on his own, by his own power at the end of the game.
Yeah, you never know what's actually, by the look of him on the bench, he didn't, it seemed all right. And we know the context of the game. It wasn't win or go home for the Knicks. Like, they're going to be able to come home if they hadn't pulled out that win. I think if the context of the series wasn't where it was at, it would have been a different, that situation would have been handled differently. and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, but if he's healthy, I like him matching up against Bam Adebayo. Like, he's physical enough, he's athletic enough to handle that matchup. And, you know, Bam, I do feel like Heat fans kind of get frustrated with him because he's not the offensive player maybe that they want him to be.
And that he shows an ability to be from time to time, but not with the consistency I think they look for. That is...
He's like the wild card. That Bam is.
That's for them. I was gonna say that's like the one part of their team that like could concern me. He had periods in this Milwaukee series where he was pretty dynamic and was able to really be a great Robin to Butler's Batman. And that if he and Butler are right in enough of the same games, that's the only way that I become like nervous about how the Knicks can answer, but. That's because they're potentially the two best players on the floor play like it, and they haven't shown their ability to do that enough. So,
man, I mean,
it's hard. It's really hard not to feel good about this matchup, having home floor, having just performed as well as the Knicks did, and the way they've matched up against this team all year.
And also, I mean, you mentioned that this is probably going to be a slugfest. We just did one of those. Right, like we just went through that experience with the Cavs. They're comfortable. This Knicks team is comfortable with those low scoring games when the game slows down and gets physical. Bring it on! Like that's where this team thrives.
That ain't no problem.
Who ain't no problem?
That ain't no problem.
Who on this Heat team is keeping Mitchell Robinson off the glass? Bam's 6'9". Like yeah, he's strong, but he's. I mean.
How many times is he really going to beat out Mitch?
Is Bam going to be matched up on Randall if Randall's... I mean, granted, if Randall's healthy, we're assuming you know, reasonable
health.
It feels
like they should.
Yeah, Bam would be on Julius. That means we're talking about Kevin Love on Mitchell Robinson, like 30-whatever-year-old, 38-year-old. I don't know how old Kevin Love is. I don't think it really matters. He's toast. Like, no chance Kevin Love would have to keep Mitchell Robinson off the boards.
Only 34.
34?
Gray hair. Gray hair Kevin Love right now.
Think gray hair Kevin Love's gonna keep Mitchell Robinson off the boards?
No.
It's laughable. I don't know, man. I'm very confident going into this. I feel better about this matchup than I did the Cavs matchup.
Yeah. Cavs I thought could go either way, and I ultimately did believe Knicks will win this series, but it could have been any result, and I wouldn't have acted like I was really surprised. Basically, besides Knicks winning in five, three of the four wins being with relative ease. I feel way better about this game.
I don't think that, you know, I think of the Heat as kind of a one-man show to an extent with Jimmy Butler just being that guy. Like, they rely so heavily on him. And this is a team that the Knicks have that relies on a lot of different guys and can go to different guys and different guys step up. And it's a next man up mentality, as cliche as that is. It's true, and it matters in the playoffs when these minutes are intense. Mm-hmm. So, man, I'm feeling good. I feel good. Bring on the Miami Heat.
I'm ready. Somebody might be in the room.
The game is Sunday.
Sunday, 1 o'clock is game one. The other games haven't been announced yet, right, as far as the schedule.
Let's go Knicks!
You may have heard us.
Audio end.
that was Talking Jake.
You might have heard Talking Jake drop a Let's Go Knicks. Game one Sunday. I'll be in the house.
You'll be there.
I'll be there.
I know some of our co-hosts, Greg and Kenny, will be attending a game.
Game two, I believe. Sounded like.
I gotta get there. I have to make this happen.
Friday night Knicks. Yeah.
I think that's...
Lines up really well with Talking Yanks schedule.
Like, beautiful.
They don't play till 2:35 on Sunday, so it's time to be at the game, come back. I should still be able to see the final innings of it, not have to delay the start of that at all. It's gonna be good. I'm excited. And I'm excited about the Knicks.
Man, what an end to that first round series, and I couldn't be more excited for this second one to start. Hey, if you're listening to this, thanks for coming along. with us. This has been a lot of fun, even more fun than we expected. So, yeah, you know, follow us on your podcast apps. Leave a review, a rating. Subscribe on YouTube. We're going to be putting out game film. We're going to be putting out highlights. So follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Talkin' Knicks. And, man, we're on to the second round.
Second round. Probably going to be favored in the second round. I haven't looked at gambling odds. Never would have had that.
Favored, likely. Home court advantage.
Potentially very heavily favored.
Let's not get too ahead of our skis here. One game at a time.
Got to take care of business.
One game at a time.
The Knicks have shown they can take care of business.
It's Sunday afternoon, I think. So we should be able to
whip something up Sunday night. When I get home from this year's studio, I think I would like to hop on for that.
Beautiful.
Whenever we get together.
We'll be back in your ears on your screens Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And until then, let's go Knicks.
Knicks tape.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.